Our reading this evening is taken from Exodus chapter 15. We'll read from verse 22 and we'll go through to chapter 16, verse 16. Exodus 15, verse 22. This is what God says. When Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went into the desert of Shur, for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" When Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them, and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God, and do what is right in your eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they came out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites came, said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the 6th day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble, that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord who gives you this meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as you need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tents." So God has delivered the people from the bondage of Egypt. He has brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground, and he delivered them from the army of the Egyptians. Now he's bringing them into the promised land. But instead of taking them directly to Canaan, God brought them the long way. One reason was to strengthen them should they have to fight battle on the way. The other reason was they grumbled and complained that they would be better off back in Egypt. It didn't take long for the complaints to start. It only took 3 days for them to complain about water or lack of it. Now, I know water's important. Not so long before that, God turned the River Nile into blood and back to water again. He caused hail to fall like golf balls, and if they had trusted him, he would have given them water, even in a wilderness. When he didn't give it to them when they said so, they complained. When they got to Marah, the water was bitter. God did another miracle for them when Moses threw in a piece of wood and made the water sweet. God even assured them that he would take care of them and they would not have any of the diseases the Egyptians had in Exodus chapter 15. Then on the 15th day of the second month, 6 weeks later, they were complaining again. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." So God told Moses he would give them bread from heaven and also give them instructions on how they were to collect it. One portion per person per day for 5 days, and then 2 portions per person on the 6th day. But the Lord had heard their grumbling, and as Aaron was speaking to them, they saw the glory of the Lord in the form of the cloud. I suspect that stopped the grumbling, at least when they saw it, because they were afraid of God. But he graciously told them they would have meat in the evening and bread in the morning. I love the simplicity of God's word here. It simply says, that evening, quail came and covered the camp. Simple, isn't it? But if you consider the number of people in the camp, between 1 and 2 million, can you imagine the number of little quail it would take to cover the camp? Not just a couple of hundred little birds the size of your fist. Big, big flock of birds. There's no way that just happened. It had to be from God. And yet, there's no record of praise or thanksgiving to God for his provision. Only grumbling and complaints. And even the next morning, you can almost hear the derision in their voices when they saw a layer of dew around the camp. What is it? So let's consider this mystery. First of all, this word manna is where it comes from. Very simply, it means what they said. What is it? It comes from a Hebrew word, manhu. So they came out of their tent and called out, "What is it? What is it?" But they didn't actually say, "What is it?" They said, "Manu, manu." It suddenly appeared that day, and no one had ever seen it before. It lasted for 40 years, and no one has ever seen it since. What a miracle. Do you remember 40? What does it mean? 40 means probation. Children of Israel were put on probation to see if they would trust God to provide their basic needs. If they could trust him in the desert then, when they entered the promised land flowing with milk and honey, they would have no problem trusting him for the luxuries. And even if the luxuries did run dry, then surely they would remember the manna they had for 40 years without fail. This is what the Lord had commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer from each person you have in your tent. As much as they need. There was enough for each person. If there were 4 in the tent, each one got an omer. 4 omers. If there was 10 in the tent, each one got an omer. 10 omers. Have you considered how much was needed? It has been conservatively suggested there was between 1 and 2 million people come out of Egypt. Let's suppose there was 1 million in the camp. That would mean 1 million omers. An omer is the equivalent of 1 pint, or sorry, 6 pints. Therefore, 1 million omers was 6 million pints. Now, as every man here knows, when you go from wet measurements to dry measurements when you're cooking, all you men know what I'm talking about here. 1 pound of dry weight is 3/4 of a pint wet weight. 6 million pints is 4,500,000 pounds in weight. 4,500,000 pounds is 2,000 tons. Now, if you had to deliver that every day, it comes to roughly 5 trains with 30 carriages, with about 13.5 tons in each carriage. 2,000 tons, what was needed every day to feed 1 million people. But if there was 2 million people, double that. Of course, on the sixth day, because it was the Sabbath on the seventh day, they had to gather twice as much. That was 4,000 omers on the one day. I took this one more step. 2,000 tons a day for 1 year is 730,000 tons. So they needed 20,200,000 tons for the 40 years in the desert. For 1 million people. God never failed.
How marvelous. God never failed. Every single person was fed an omer of whatever it was, an omer of bread, for 40 years.
Nehemiah chapter 9 said, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. What a God we have. They lacked nothing. So why do we worry when the bill comes in? Why do we worry? We don't have enough food in the pantry and somebody calls, rings the doorbell, you have to give them a wee cup of tea. We're not Englishmen, you know. Don't get a biscuit when you go to England. Why do we worry when we're told our job is in danger? Why do we worry when we get a wee chill? Why do we worry when we need a new pair of shoes? God said, I will provide your needs. Sometimes God makes some of his children millionaires because he wants to use them to pass it on to others. And secondly, because they can handle it. If you're like Lila and me, when money was short, we used to sit and consider what we'd do if we won the lottery. I know exactly what I would do. But God knows exactly what I would not do. And that's what I think I would do. I wouldn't do it because I couldn't handle large sums of money. Apart from the fact that I wouldn't need God anymore. How many people's lives have been ruined after they won the lottery? They become alcoholics. Marriages break up. Business ventures fail. People have committed suicide. In Bridgenorth, there was a man who'd won the lottery. Won a couple of million. Him and his wife went on a holiday in Spain. At the end of it, she wouldn't come back when he did. So he came home and he went to work and drank cyanide. The money didn't provide exactly what he wanted. However, when we rely on God, he provides exactly what we need. Day by day, month by month, year after year. Not our greeds, but what we need. How many times have you gone on holiday and you come back home and you hear stories of what God has done when you were away? How many times, even this year, you've heard how God brought someone through a dark patch? How many times have you heard God has come alongside someone and provided just what they needed when they needed it? And God shall supply all your needs out of his riches in glory. Now remember, God has millions, billions of riches. But maybe you couldn't handle the riches. So be grateful for his mercies, which are new every morning, even where we are today. Another thought from the manna is that it was the same thing day after day. You all know what Samson and Goliath are. The big cranes. There was a man working at the top of Goliath that was 348 feet from the bottom of the dock to the top of the crane. One day he opened his lunchbox, opened the sandwich and lost his temper. He threw the lunchbox and its contents against the bulkhead of the crane and he shouted, "My mother gave me cheese in my lunch every day when I was at school. I've been married for the last 20 years and I still get cheese every day. If I get cheese one more day, I'll throw myself off this crane." Next day he opened his lunchbox and screamed and walked over to the side of the crane and jumped off before anybody could stop him. When the foreman went round to console his wife, he asked her, "Tell me, why did you always give him cheese on his lunch?" She looked at him and said, "What? He always made his own lunch." Very often it's easy to get upset and miserable with the same thing day after day, whether it's food or your job or being stuck in the house. Be careful, because if you complain, you're really telling God you don't want his provision. And when he stops providing, it'll be worse for you. Think about this. When the Sabbath came, the children of Israel were told to gather twice as much as the day before. For 6 days they gathered it, and then if they kept any of it for the next day, it was rotten, full of maggots and totally inedible. Yet on the seventh day there wasn't a maggot to be seen, and it was edible. Not only was the giving of the manna a miracle 6 days a week, but the preservation of the manna on the seventh day was an additional miracle. Even in 1 week, they got so used to God providing for them that they expected him to provide it on the day after the Sabbath. However, when they didn't do what God told them to do, they had to do without. When God provides, it's exactly what you need. And when you get it, even when it's not what you would like, thank God anyway. At the end of a chapter, an omer of manna, which is what each person gathered each day, was presented before the Lord and eventually placed in the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle. And that manna never rotted either for 40 years. Pot of manna was placed in the Ark of Covenant as a reminder of God's goodness and provision for the 40 years in the wilderness. Irving Berlin wrote a song about 70 years ago for the movie White Christmas. Bing Crosby, if you remember. It's called Count Your Blessings. I don't know it all, but I do remember the chorus and part of the verse. I'm sorry, but I don't remember the tune, so I won't be able to sing it for you tonight. Stop being nasty, Eleanor. I know what you're thinking. When I'm worried and can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. When your bank account is getting small, just remember when you had no money at all and fall asleep counting your blessings. And it goes on about complaining of what you have with what you, comparing what you have with what you could have had. Better still, I refer you to the chorus we know ourselves. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Do you know the alternative version? Anybody know the alternative? Count your blessings, name them two by two. Count your blessings, name them four by four. Count your blessings, name them by the score, and it will surprise you there are thousands more. As God's children, we have much to thank and praise God for as He provides our bodily needs every day. And not only as children. Matthew chapter 5 says, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, the saved and the unsaved alike. As we live life here on earth, we live on promises, not explanations. When we're hurt, the normal response is, why? But that's the wrong approach to take. When we ask God that question, we actually assume a superior position, as if it's beneath us to be hurt. When we ask why, we are actually asking God to give an account for Himself, for allowing us to be hurt. God is sovereign and doesn't need to explain unless He wants to. Asking why also assumes that if God did explain His plans and propose it and purposes to us, that we'd be able to understand everything perfectly and feel better. It doesn't work that way. God's plans are different from man's plans. When Job was in despair, he repeatedly said, when I meet God, I'm going to ask Him to explain a few things. But when God did come to him, he was so overwhelmed, he never asked anything. Explanations don't heal broken hearts or encourage people to go on in the face of hardship. Promises do. Because promises depend on faith, and faith puts us in touch with God. Now, as I've said in the past, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The day after Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus went into the synagogue and preached a sermon about the bread of life. He had just done a miracle to feed them, but realizing He was the Messiah, they wanted Him to prove He was the Messiah by duplicating the miracle of the manna. Instead, Jesus declared that He was the true bread of life, and that manna was only a type or a shadow of what was to come, and what He would do for His people. The Jews were following Jesus because they thought He would give them food for their body. But what they needed even more was food for the soul. If Jesus is the bread of life, then the only way to be saved is to receive Him for the inner being, just as the body receives food. If you want to have a spiritual life, then you need spiritual food. You need to be feeding on Jesus. God gave manna only to Israel. And in similar fashion, Christ died for the church. The manna only sustained their physical life in the wilderness. But God's Son gives eternal life to those who appropriate it for themselves. It's amazing that so many people want to go to heaven, but want to go their own way. They try all the cults, they try the major religions, and they try nothing at all. They try the occult, they try the stars, and every one of them is a bit like a Chinese meal. An hour later, we're hungry again and looking for something else to fill the gap. False religions do the same. You'll feel well for a while, but when you get past the desire and the happy feeling, the hunger for something else comes back. With Jesus, there's always enough to never want anything else again. If the Israelites wanted to live, they had to stoop down and pick up the manna. So too with the unsaved. They have to humble themselves and receive Jesus within. They have to do it yourself. You have to do it right at the right time. It's no use trying to wait until you think it's right, because God's time is the right time. The Jews were told to go out early to be fed. So too with salvation. You can't wait too long, because one day the manna stopped. Scripture says, now is the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, if it brings anything at all. One of the problems with the unsaved is that they're not prepared to let go of the life they have. Some have survived scavenging around for 40, 50, 60 or 70 years. But Jesus, He gives you enough true, full life with a capital L. Life you've never known before, and life that will never finish. Children of Israel ate the manna, but they eventually died. But whoever receives Jesus will live forever. Not their body, that will change. But the soul, the real you, will live forever because of Jesus, the bread of life. The mortal will put on immortality, and the corruptible will put on incorruptibility. Immortal and incorruptible simply means eternal, never ending. The manna was a type, a temporary example for the 40 years. It showed that God would look upon their temporal needs. But when the Messiah would come, He would take care of their eternal needs. One other reason for the manna. When the Israelites gathered it, they had to eat it. Each day you and I must feed on Jesus Christ. We only do that by reading the Word of God, meditating on it, and then obeying what it says. When Jesus went back to heaven and the church was established, the persecutors accused the Christians of incest. They claimed the Christians loved their brothers and sisters. It was also claimed that they were cannibals because they ate the blood and drank, sorry, they ate the body and drank the blood of Jesus. Obviously, that's not true. Jesus made it clear He was speaking in spiritual language and was referring to God's Word. This is the heavenly food that nourishes our spiritual life, and we must feed on it every day. After the tabernacle was established, the Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God in the camp of Israel. Inside the Ark were two tablets of the law God gave to Moses, along with Aaron's rod that budded and the golden jar of manna. They were there because God instructed Moses to put them there. The Ark stood in the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest entered one day a year, the Day of Atonement. But the Jewish people knew what was in the Ark, and they taught this truth to each succeeding generation, and they still do it today. Each item reminded the people of an important truth about God. The tablets reminded them that He's the King and the Lawgiver, and He gave them the law as a light to guide them. Aaron's rod reminded them that God established the priesthood to teach them they needed a priest to help them be forgiven. Jar of manna reminded them that He fed His people throughout the wilderness and He was their provider. A little boy was about 10 years old when he was taken into an orphanage. After about 3 weeks he was playing up. Obviously he had problems settling in. He missed his parents. He felt unloved and he was angry. Because of all these factors, he was continually in trouble with the orphanage staff. They felt that he needed to go somewhere else that could handle him. As a last resort, before he was moved, the matron brought him into her office and asked him why he was always in trouble. His answer was that nobody loved him. The matron took a photograph out of a folder on her desk. It wasn't a good picture, but it was of a skinny, dirty, ragamuffin child. It was a picture of him with ragged clothes, drooped shoulders, and a dirty face that looked down to the ground. Matron said, "That was you on the day you arrived. Look at you now. Clean clothes, fatter, healthier, fitter. And the reason for that is because we do love you. Take the photo and have a good think." There was never any more trouble from again, because he realized what he had come from to what he went to. Most people are prone to forget the way God has dealt with them. That means we have to relearn lessons we have forgotten. Some keep a journal, some keep a spiritual diary, some mark their Bible, some highlight verses. Whatever you do, do something that will help you remember what God has done for you. Whether it was last week or 60 years ago. God provided for his people in the wilderness 2,000 tons of manna every day. And they needed to be reminded. Isn't that scandalous? I'll finish again with the chorus. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. But don't forget, count your blessings, name them two by two, and it will surprise you there are thousands more.